Back together again, you and I, on Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022, right here on Connecticut Today. I had a few thoughts on a new state program that offers $1,000 worth of state help if you buy an electric vehicle. We also aired remarks from President Joe Biden on the developing situation in Ukraine and got some instant local analysis from University of New Haven International Affairs professor and former State Department staffer Dr. Howard Stouffer. You just heard it there, hopefully you did, from our buddy, our pal, Andrew Krause in the WICC newsroom. Here it is. I'll read it again. Quote, a new state program is designed to help homeowners to install electric vehicle chargers in their homes. The program offers homeowners up to $1,000 toward the cost of installing a charger and of updating wiring as needed, because, you know, you need an upgraded circuit to handle enough juice to get in the electric car. It offers $500 toward the charger and another $500 for new wiring. The program is scheduled to run for the next 9 years. Isn't that nice, huh? So regular folk in Connecticut who can't afford an electric vehicle, they get screwed. That's how it works here in the great state of Connecticut. There's a joyful quivering of the loins anytime anybody mentions an electric vehicle or a hybrid vehicle. And there were tax credits in this and credits for that. And now we see there's a state program offering $1,000, $500 toward the charger, and $500 for new wiring. The program is set to run for 9 years. Well, isn't that great for people who can afford electric vehicles? Isn't that just nice? What about people who, whomever is behind this, where's my rebate? Where's my rebate for all of the money that I spend on the state of Connecticut gas tax and the federal gas tax, which goes supposedly, we were told at one time, which goes to road maintenance? No, but you know what? I guess me and the few hundred thousand other people in this state who prefer, for whatever reason, be it monetary, be it personal, political, whatever, you know, those of us who prefer to still drive internal combustion vehicles, we are placed in the go screw category by the state of Connecticut. Isn't it amazing, folks? Isn't it amazing? The elites here in the state, they will, to borrow a boxing term, you get a thumb in the eye. You do. If you're a regular, you know, person who pays taxes, who doesn't look for a handout, who's not trying to glom onto this or glom onto that because it makes them feel good. If you're just a regular person in this state that is not looking for a program for this or a program for that or to make a social statement in what they use, you don't matter. You don't matter in this state. But apparently, I guess we're in such great shape in this state that we're going to have a 9-year program here. 9 years, not 1 year, not two, not three. We're going to have a 9-year program that's going to offer homeowners up to $1,000 toward the cost of installing a charger and updating your wiring, which is nice if you can afford an electric vehicle. And you know what's lost on a lot of people here? Can I just say this? You know I'm a gearhead. I follow the car industry like crazy. All these people who, these state commissioners and these environmental folks, all you hear of them is, well, you know, an EV, electric vehicle, that'll save the planet. Yes, it will. And you know what? I can't afford it. Honestly, they talk about these EVs like, well, you know, you should go electric. Really? With what money? With what money? Have you seen? Now, the prices are coming down. I get it. I understand that. But does anybody understand? Do they not get the fact that there are two things here? The price and the fact that, and I'm sorry, EVs are not going to get widely accepted until quick charge, and not just charging at the shopping mall where you have to sit there for a half an hour. You need a 70 or 80% charge in 2 or 3 minutes, because unless people can get that, there will not be the wide acceptance of this. Well, you know, Paul, in Europe, I don't care what they do in Europe. I don't. Europeans are not Americans, and Americans aren't Europeans. But boy, this must make you feel good. Now, if you can afford a decent electric vehicle, God bless you. Go drive it like crazy, all you want. But isn't this nice, folks? Doesn't this give you a nice, warm feeling? Where the majority party in Hartford, they won't cut the gasoline tax even by a little. The majority party in Hartford won't shave a little bit off the sales tax, just a fraction in an election year, to give statewide upper income, middle income, low income, poverty level people just a few more dollars back in their pocket. But they're not going to do it. No, but they are going to allow you to give you $1,000 in some way, rebate or how it's going to work, to put new wiring in a charger in your home for your electric vehicle. Boy, must be nice. Must be great, huh?
It's announced that it is carving out a big chunk of Ukraine. Last night, Putin authorized Russian forces to deploy into the region, these regions. Today, he asserted that these regions are actually extend deeper than the two areas he recognized, claiming large areas currently under the jurisdiction of the Ukraine government. He's setting up a rationale to take more territory by force, in my view. And if we listened to his speech last night, and many of you did, I know, he's setting up a rationale to go much further. This is the beginning of a Russian invasion of Ukraine, as he indicated and asked permission to be able to do from his Duma. So let's begin to I'm going to begin to impose sanctions in response far beyond the steps we and our allies and partners implemented in 2014. And if Russia goes further with this invasion, we stand prepared to go further as with sanctions. Who in the Lord's name does Putin think gives him the right to declare new so-called countries on territory that belonged to his neighbors? This is a flagrant violation of international law and demands a firm response from the international community. Over the last few months, we've coordinated closely with our NATO allies and partners in Europe and around the world to prepare that response. We've said all along, and I've told Putin to his face more than a month ago, that we would act together. And the moment Russia moved against Ukraine, Russia has now undeniably moved against Ukraine by declaring these independent states. So today, I'm announcing the first tranche of sanctions to impose costs on Russia in response to their actions yesterday. These have been closely coordinated with our allies and partners and will continue to escalate sanctions if Russia escalates. We're implementing full blocking sanctions on two large Russian financial institutions, VEB and their military bank. We're implementing comprehensive sanctions on Russian sovereign debt. That means we've cut off Russia's government from Western financing. It can no longer raise money from the West and cannot trade in its new debt on our markets or European markets either. Starting tomorrow and continuing in the days ahead, we'll also impose sanctions on Russia's elites and their family members. They share in the corrupt gains of the Kremlin policies and should share in the pain as well. And because of Russia's actions, we've worked with Germany to ensure Nord Stream 2 will not, as I promised, will not move forward. As Russia contemplates its next move, we have our next move prepared as well. Russia will pay an even steeper price if it continues its aggression, including additional sanctions. The United States will continue to provide defensive assistance to Ukraine in the meantime, and will continue to reinforce and reassure our NATO allies. Today, in response to Russia's admission that it will not withdraw its forces from Belarus, I have authorized additional movements of U.S. forces and equipment already stationed in Europe to strengthen our Baltic allies, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. Let me be clear, these are totally defensive moves on our part. We have no intention of fighting Russia. We want to send an unmistakable message, though, that the United States, together with our allies, will defend every inch of NATO territory and abide by the commitments we made to NATO. We still believe that Russia is poised to go much further in launching a massive military attack against Ukraine. Hope I'm wrong about that. Hope we're wrong about that. But Russia has only escalated its threat against the rest of Ukrainian territory, including major cities and including the capital city of Kyiv. There are still well over 150,000 Russian troops surrounding Ukraine. And as I said, Russian forces remain positioned in Belarus to attack Ukraine from the north, including warplanes and offensive missile systems. Russia's moved troops closer to Ukraine's border with Russia. Russia's naval vessels are maneuvering in the Black Sea to Ukraine's south, including amphibious assault ships, missile cruisers, and submarines. Russia's moved supplies of blood and medical equipment into position on their border. You don't need blood unless you plan on starting a war. Over the last few days, we've seen much of the playbook that Secretary Blinken laid out last week in the United Nations Security Council come to pass. A major increase in military provocations and false flag events along the line of contact in the Donbas. Dramatically staged, conveniently on-camera meeting of Putin's Security Council to grandstand for the Russian public. And now political provocation of recognizing sovereign Ukrainian territory as so-called independent republics in clear violation, again, of international law. President Putin has sought authorization from the Russian parliament to use military force outside of Russian territory. And this set the stage for further pretext of further provocations by Russia to try to justify further military action. None of us should be fooled. None of us will be fooled. There is no justification. Further Russian assault in Ukraine remains a severe threat in the days ahead. And if Russia proceeds, it is Russia and Russia alone that bears the responsibility. As we respond, my administration is using every tool at our disposal to protect American businesses and consumers from rising prices at the pump. As I said last week, defending freedom will have cost for us as well and here at home. We need to be honest about that. But as we do this, I'm going to take robust action to make sure the pain of our sanctions is targeted at the Russian economy, not ours. We're closely monitoring energy supplies for any disruption. We're executing a plan in coordination with major oil-producing consumers and producers toward a collective investment to secure stability in global energy supplies. This will blunt gas prices. I want to limit the pain the American people are feeling at the gas pump. This is critical to me. In the last few days, I've been in constant contact with European leaders, including with Ukrainian President Zelensky. Vice President Harris met in person with the leaders in Germany over the weekend at the Munich conference, including President Zelensky. At every step, we have shown the United States and our allies and partners are working in unison, which he hasn't been counting on, Mr. Putin. We're united in our support of Ukraine. We are united in our opposition to Russian aggression, and we're united in our resolve to defend our NATO alliance, and we're united in our understanding of the urgency and seriousness of the threat Russia is making to global peace and stability. Yesterday, the world heard clearly the full extent of Vladimir Putin's twisted rewrite of history, going back more than a century, as he waxed eloquently, noting that well, I'm not going to go into it, but nothing in Putin's lengthy remarks indicate any interest in pursuing real dialogue on European security in the year 2022. He directly attacked Ukraine's right to exist. He indirectly threatened territorial formerly held by Russia, including nations that today are thriving democracies and members of NATO. He explicitly threatened war unless his extreme demands were met. And there is no question that Russia is the aggressor. So we're clear-eyed about the challenges we're facing. Nonetheless, there is still time to avert the worst-case scenario that will bring untold suffering to millions of people if they move as suggested. The United States and our allies and partners remain open to diplomacy if it is serious. When all is said and done, we're going to judge Russia by its actions, not its words. And whatever Russia does next, we're ready to respond with unity, clarity, and conviction. We'll probably have more to say about this as it moves on. I'm hoping diplomacy is still available. Thank you all very much.
The news cycle dominated, of course, by what's been happening over the past few days, including the incursion of Russian forces, or invasion, if you will, last night into two Russian-friendly breakaway provinces of Ukraine, with the fear that more is coming. And joining us right now is a gentleman we had on a couple of weeks ago leading up to this. His background includes a 25-year stint from 1980 to 2005 in the Foreign Service of the U.S. He retired as a member of the Senior Foreign Service at the State Department. Currently, he teaches international affairs and national security at the Henry C. Lee College of Criminal Justice at the University of New Haven. We welcome back Dr. Howard Stouffer to Connecticut today. Dr. Stouffer, it's Paul again. How are you, sir?
Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on some such short notice. We appreciate it. Well, Doctor, this is approaching, I guess, the place where I guess many of us thought this would, but nonetheless, it's can't be good news, at least at this point. What are your feelings overall before we get into some specifics as to what we've seen transpire in the past couple of days?
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty clear that Putin wants to reestablish the empire that he feels was lost when the Soviet Union fell in 1991. And one of the ways is he's already taken Belarus, something the media have not been picking up on. He already has thousands of troops in Belarus, and they're never leaving. So they've now become part of Russia, and although not formally. And now he's trying to, you know, slice away at Ukraine. So far, he's gone into the Donbas region, and the administration is calling it an invasion. They're using the word invasion. Both Biden said that this morning. And Wendy Sherman, the deputy secretary, said it in, to the Europeans also their morning, our afternoon.
And language does, Dr. Stouffer, you know, some people may fluff it off, but it does mean a lot here, especially when it comes to issues of international aggression.
Well, you know, Biden has basically said, and if I can even quote what he said this morning in a moment, just said, "Who in Lord's name does Putin think gives him the right to declare new so-called countries of territory that belong to their neighbors? It's a violation of international law, and it demands a firm response, because in 2014 there wasn't a firm response, and I guess Biden was vice president, Obama was president. They decided that, you know, it's just not the right time to take on so many other things, given what was happening in Syria, what was happening in Iran, and the China equation. Whatever decision they made, Putin basically reached the conclusion that maybe he can get away with it again and get the same kind of mild reaction, but that's not going to happen.
We saw starting earlier and then with the president today, Dr. Stouffer, with a promise of much more to come from other countries, you know, these sanctions, these economic sanctions. But I was kind of musing, Dr. Stouffer, last hour before we hooked up here, to what point do those sanctions have to get before anybody at the top, Vladimir Putin or anybody else, is he going to care? I mean, does he have to see unrest in the streets? Does he have to see empty store shelves? Do you think he really cares?
No, I don't think he cares at all. And he could probably survive any level of sanctions that we could impose on him. However, I think that will, you know, breed a great deal of resentment, because these sanctions already, the first sanctions now are on two financial institutions that operate in the Donbas region, and the Russian sovereign debt has been sanctioned, and Russian elites and their family members have now been sanctioned. But what happens if we keep going and if he invades further into Ukraine, and then, you know, Russia's just cut off? Nobody can get a visa from any country, from any Western country, to go there. There'll be no exports, no imports. No bank in the world will do business with Russia, because we'll cut them off of the SWIFT system. They'll basically be ostracized. They could even be thrown out of the Olympics, for all I know. But the idea would be that the entire Russian economy would be closed off from the rest of the world, except for maybe places like China and Iran. But what will eventually make Putin pay attention is if the Ukrainians fight back, and if they do face an invasion for most of the rest of the country, I think they'll fight back hard, and there'll be a lot of dead soldiers coming back to Russia and a lot of severely injured soldiers coming back to Russia. And you may not remember, but in 1979, that's why they left after having invaded. They invaded in 1979, and they left a decade later because so many soldiers had been killed, and families were getting very, very angry about what are they fighting for? Why are they fighting their brothers in Ukraine, and I'm losing a son, a husband, whoever else would be killed? That's going to have an impact on Putin. And I think that will eventually make him think twice about continuing maybe with a further war against NATO.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Dr. Stilfer, because you're right. And it's not like Russia got out of Afghanistan. That was Russians and Afghans there and the Afghans using their territorial advantage. But you're right. And I think some people know it, Dr. Stilfer, but some people forget about the lineage and the ethnicity and connection between a lot of people in Ukraine and Russia per se. Yeah,
there are lots of Russians that live in Ukraine and lots of Ukrainians that live in Russia. And to start, having these groups of people fighting each other. But, my concern is that it won't just, if he invades further and then the Americans start sending in all kinds of supplies to the Ukrainian armed forces in the western part of Ukraine and eventually to a guerrilla movement, will that prompt Putin to then attack Poland? Or attack Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia? Will he be willing to take on NATO and make this a conflagration in the middle of Europe for the third time first time in 100 years, and for the third time in two centuries? Why do we have to face this kind of madness? That's the question that people are asking. And the Biden administration says we're still open to diplomacy. We're still open to trying to, contain this event and this process that's unfolding. But if Putin is determined to rewrite the map of Europe the way Hitler did, then I think we're in for a very, very major change in the way things are.
Dr. Stilfer, do you think that it would get to the point that inside Russia, in the Duma and maybe the people closest to Mr. Putin, could there be enough people there that face him down and say, this is ridiculous, this is not good for the country, you must stop or else? Could this come down to, in the worst case scenario, Dr. Stilfer, kind of a loyalty test inside the Russian government or not?
Well, first of all, if there are protests in the street, I'm sure he will, he'll decimate those protests with violence. So they wouldn't get very far. There are almost no leaders of any kind of opposition in Russia now. So it would have to be sort of the mothers. The mothers are always the ones that stop drunk driving, and the mothers are the ones that stop opioid use. The mothers might start saying, we've had enough. Enough is enough. Now, he's deployed almost 70% of his entire armed forces around Ukraine. And if they get pretty decimated, he won't have a lot of forces for other parts of the world. And what if other things start happening? I can't speculate, but if I were an American policymaker, I'd be saying to the president, well, if he's going to go into Ukraine, then maybe we can help some forces in Georgia and help some forces in Moldova and perhaps some forces in other places where Russian so-called peacemakers are stationed between Armenia and Azerbaijan. And maybe there could be difficulties there. And how can they hold the front against all of these actions that would take place?
Finally, Dr. Stilfer, something that's always fascinated me from your point of view and your career in things like this. You were so long in the Foreign Service back in the Reagan years, total of 25 years. I've often read where the State Department and the military, they have psychological profiles of every leader in the world, from people who know them, doctors, experts who watch these people from afar. Whether you know of one or what do you think the profile is? If I were to open Vladimir Putin's file and read, never mind the military stuff or the KGB, but what do the experts think, Dr. Stilfer, goes on in his head?
Well, I think my colleague, Dr. Morgan, would be a good person to talk to, because that's some of the work that he did for CIA before he came to Yale and then to Henry C. Lee College. But yes, every leader. We got files on every leader, every sub-leader. I mean, it goes way down the food chain. And, if you look at Putin, Putin was basically a captain in 1991 in the KGB, became a colonel in 1999 and then took over the KGB and then became prime minister. So from those origins, we have to assume that, you know, he was very comfortable with seeing a Soviet Union that was, you know, big and vast and a powerful country regarded by the United States as its, you know, rival, not equal, but rival because of its nuclear forces, because of its military forces. And then he sees the Soviet Union invade Afghanistan, a tiny little country, to try to get access to the Indian Ocean, which they've always wanted for centuries, and then get defeated by these ragtag mujahideen who basically defeated the British, defeated the Soviets, and now pushed us out. And for him to feel that the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, all these republics became independent as a result of, again, American decisions to move quickly to recognize these states and let them become independent, he feels like this is a tremendous affront to, you know, the dignity and the greatness of Russia. And he wants to reestablish Russian greatness in the Eurasian sphere. Of course, he doesn't want to do it legally under international law because we've not accepted any lines of, you know, territorial lines to be changed in the world by violence. We won't recognize it. We won't accept it. And what he's doing now is trying to make that change. And that's the greater threat, the threat to the entire international system established after World War II. If he gets away with this, then, you know, China will say, well, Taiwan's out there. That's part of China. Mm. Everybody agrees with that. We'll take that. Iran might feel, okay, now we're ready to attack the Israelis, you know, get rid of this threat to us for all these years. I mean, any number of events could occur around the world, including something nobody pays attention to is the Sahel, which is the southern, the area just below the Maghreb, the Arab Maghreb in Africa. And, you know, who knows? Terrorist organizations will be sprouting up and operating in all of these places because the great powers will all be engaged in a conflict with each other. Another factor in all of this.
Wow. Man, it's complex, and there's the domino issue. Dr. Howard Stopher again, a professor of international affairs, national security at the University of New Haven after a 25-year career in foreign service. Dr. Stopher, thank you once again. We appreciate it, and we'll check back in with you down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate Bye-bye. It. All right, there you go, huh, folks? A lot of moving parts here. There you go.